Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Back in the summer of 2021, the Democrats presented a bill called the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. The bill passed the House in August, 219 to 213 along party lines. It's now been held up in the Senate because the Democrats do not have the 60% majority to pass the bill. In the Senate, most bills have to pass by a 60% margin because the Senate has what are called filibuster rules, where the minority party can keep the party in the majority from bringing a bill to the floor for a vote unless the majority can get 60%. This has preserved minority rights and has helped keep the Senate from passing bills that lack bipartisan support. So a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats in the Senate attempted to change the Senate rules and do away with the filibuster. But two Democrat senators, Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema from Arizona, refused to vote to eliminate the filibuster. If you recall, back in 2013, when the Democrats controlled the Senate, the Democrat leader of the Senate, Harry Reid, got rid of the filibuster rule when it came to picking court justices. Maybe they assumed the Democrats would always be in the majority in the Senate. Well, they regretted that action because under Trump, with no filibuster rules, the Republicans were able to put three justices on the Supreme Court. So now Manchin and Sinema are saying that if the filibuster is completely removed, look at all the power you will give the Republicans if they win the Senate in the midterms this fall. Now, my hunch is that the Democrat leadership, even though they wanted to pass the voting rights bill, really didn't want to end the filibuster. So they were just using Manchin and Sinema to be the bad guys. The Democrats had to play to their more radical base to show that they tried to get the voting right advancement bill passed. This was some sort of deal hatched in the back room. So did you get all that? Well, let's talk about the bill itself. The bill nationalizes voting procedures and standards. As it is right now, each state gets to decide its own voting standards. If the bill ever passes in the Senate, and the president, of course, will sign it, it will be immediately challenged in the courts as being unconstitutional. Because the Constitution clearly gives the states the power to regulate voting. Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the Constitution, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislatures thereof. But the Congress may at any times by law make or alter such regulations, except as to the place of choosing senators. Now, this second sentence gives the federal government ultimate authority or oversight in holding elections. The framers of the Constitution were concerned that states might attempt to undermine the national government by refusing to hold elections. But even though Congress is given authority to force the states to hold elections, the whole point in Article 1, Section 4 is that the procedural authority is given to the states. And this diversity of procedure among the states is to be a check against the federal government attempting to override the states and manipulate the elections. The Voter Rights Advancement Act gives the federal government the power to determine the times, the place, and the manner of holding elections, and hence it violates the intent of the Constitution. The bill would mandate, number one, universal mail-in ballots. No one has to show up in person, and no one has to give any reason for using a mail-in ballot. Mail-in ballots would be automatic. One doesn't even have to request one. And of course, this would, you know, litter the country with millions of ballots, increasing the danger of fraud. Number two, this bill would mandate that all states would have early voting 2 weeks in advance. And this would create a situation where, with the results being detected early, actors could then manipulate the vote as needed. Number three, this bill would mandate that the states could not pass any voting laws without the permission of the Federal Department of Justice. That's definitely an unconstitutional federal power grab. Number four, states must have same-day voter registration and online registration. Of course, this doesn't give the states any time to confirm the identity of the voters. So on election day, a party could send thousands of people to register under false names. Those votes get mixed up in the totals, and since the votes are kept secret, there'd be no way to remove those votes from anyone's totals. Number five, the voter right bill would give the federal government the authority to limit the way states can purge voters from their voter rolls. Already in the state of New Jersey, the laws make it almost impossible to remove someone from the voter rolls. Number six, the bill would impose new rules on how campaigns are funded. Now, this could be a good thing because dark money, bundling, and political action committees have corrupted the vote. But this would also curtail our freedoms to support a good cause. This bill would require that the names of all donors be disclosed. And remember what happened in California? When the list of donors was released, donors who donated money to support Proposition 8, a ban on same-sex marriage, these donors were targeted and persecuted, some even fired from their jobs for financially supporting Proposition 8. Number seven. This bill would give the Federal Elections Commission the power to decide which voting machines and computer systems the state should use. As is right now, the diversity of systems is a check and balance on the danger of having one system that can be easily manipulated at a central source. You know, if a state really wants to be safe, it could do away with computers altogether and go with the old-fashioned paper ballot system. But under this bill, that would not be permitted. Every state would have to use the federal government's chosen computer system. Number eight, this bill will allow convicted felons the right to vote once they're out of incarceration. As it is right now, each state has different laws in this regard. Now, it may seem as if once you've served your jail time, all punishment should be over. But it's perfectly reasonable for the punishment for a crime to extend beyond just the time one spends in jail, such as sexual predator lists, parole, the banning of certain licenses for the practice of certain professions. All those punishments can be written into the original sentence. What's really going on here in this bill is that the Democrats are enacting a federal power grab designed to thwart the election reform bills that have been passed by Republican states over the last few months. The Democrats want to make permanent all of the mail-in voting allowances that were enacted under COVID because the Democrats saw how this helped them win the 2020 election. After the election, the Republicans saw how the vote-by-mail situation, the non-voter ID situation resulted in election fraud and confusion. I mean, yes, their candidate, Trump, lost, but regardless, the last election was one big mess. There was no way to check the legitimacy of the vote. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court just ruled that the mail-in voting system in the 2020 election violated the state constitution because the governor, Governor Wolf, a Democrat, created these mail-in ballot mandates under COVID-19 emergency powers rather than going through the state legislature. which was Republican. The governor's emergency COVID-19 powers was a way for the Democrats to do an end around the Republican legislature. And many other state governors did the same thing. So now these Republican legislators are passing laws to put an end to these unconstitutional power grabs by Democrat governors. A Wisconsin judge just ruled against the Wisconsin Election Commission in their placing ballot drop boxes wherever they chose. The Wisconsin legislature passed a law stating that the drop boxes could only be at state election offices. The Democrat governor and his election committee said that we have the right to put them anywhere we want. But that's not what the state constitution says. The Republican legislators were trying to curtail ballot harvesting and secret ballot drops. If you've been following the news, in Georgia, at these drop boxes in the 2020 election, they have on security camera footage the same people dropping off multiple ballots at multiple drop boxes. Here's the story. Huge development. They caught 24 criminal operatives caught on video stuffing drop boxes with 1,900 ballots in 3 days. That's 75 ballots per operative. And here's another story in this regard. After the 2020 November 3rd election, in the Senate runoff in Georgia, a man in Georgia came forward and admitted that he was paid $10 for every ballot he put in the ballot box. And he made $45,000 in 2 months. Not only this man, but 240 other people were caught on video stuffing the ballot boxes in the Georgia runoff. Now, if these were fake ballots, that was illegal. And if this was ballot harvesting, that too was illegal. Apparently, someone spent millions on these operatives to make sure the Democrats won the Senate. These ballot boxes were placed throughout the city, and cheaters took advantage of the situation. But here's a very interesting part of the story. This man's mother told him that what he was doing was wrong and he needed to come forward and confess. And this kind of confirms one of my predictions. If there was cheating in the 2020 election, it had to involve so many people that eventually someone is going to blow the whistle. Because there's always people who are going to be converted to Christ, who are going to repent and eventually confess. So the Democrats on the federal level, seeing how well universal mail-in voting, same-day registration, drop boxes, and no voter ID worked for giving them the 2020 election, they want to make these procedures permanent. Their only obstacle are these states that are now passing laws to hinder fraud. Hence, they came up with the John Lewis Voter Rights Advancement Act, which will override state laws and give the power to the Federal Election Commission, the deep state. Now, the way this bill is being sold to the American people is that this bill would give more people the freedom to vote, and Republicans are trying to keep people from voting because they're racist. Last month, President Biden was in Atlanta pushing for this voter rights bill, and he described Republicans as racist for being against the bill. Remember, given our nation's moral relativism, the only sin that can be condemned, the only sin that you can be against, that gives you any moral authority, is the sin of racism. So that's why any opposition to leftist policy is called racism. It's the only evil motive they see. It's the only evil motive that gets traction with the public. So Biden, speaking about support for the voter rights bill, said every official in this country has a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. Martin Luther King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? Which is kind of interesting because the Democrats were on the side of Jefferson Davis. Well, Wallace, Connor, and Davis were all racists. And these are the men Joe Biden compares to Republicans who are opposed to this federal takeover of elections. The propaganda is that the Republicans are keeping people from voting by not passing this bill. And this will be the Democrats' talking point going into the midterm election. However, we have the Voter Rights Act of 1965. And even with the states recently passing voter ID laws and limiting mail-in ballots, no one is being prevented from voting. The Democrats can't put forth a single person who is being actually kept from voting by current state laws. Now, someone could make the silly argument that any voting regulation can in some way hinder voting. I mean, just the fact that you have to pick up a pen and sign your name or walk to a mailbox could be called a hindrance. But everyone knows that some effort is required to vote. And there's always going to be some inconvenience, but that effort or inconvenience that is essential to preventing voter fraud is so minimal that everyone can participate. And this is how the Supreme Court has ruled in such cases. And you need an ID today to do business anywhere, to go to the bank, to go to the DMV, to even visit the hospital. But what the Democrats are doing is making it appear as if normal expected effort is onerous and racist. Why? Because they want to keep mail-in ballots, same-day registration, and drop boxes. Because it's easier to cheat? Maybe. But I suspect they also assume that many low-information voters won't bother to remember to vote or won't vote unless someone harvests the ballots. In other words, to have at least 2 weeks to knock on doors and collect people's ballots. In the inner city, usually only 60% of the population votes. And if the Democrats could get everyone in the inner city out to vote, they assume that it would equate to more Democrat votes. And so they'll win elections. And that's exactly what happened in 2020. With drop boxes and mail-in ballots, voter turnout was the highest that it had ever been. So the conclusion for Democrats, remove all voter obstacles, and Democrats will get more votes. Democrats want to set up a situation where Republicans can never win again by increasing votes coming from the inner city, along with flooding the nation with new immigrants. Now, we can all admit that it's good to have more people vote. But the problem with diluting voting regulations is that it leads to fraud. Not just fake ballots, but people going through the neighborhoods, twisting people's arms to vote in a certain way. When, you know, these people don't even care to vote. And maybe those people who don't care to vote shouldn't be voting. Because even they know, they don't know enough to make an informed decision. They're just voting on a basis of superficialities. So really what's going on here is the Democrats are trying to get the votes of the 33% of the population who don't care to vote, expecting that their votes will favor the Democrat Party. And they want to do this by drop boxes, mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and early voting. They can't do this if the states are in charge. So they want the federal government and the deep state to take over. But here's my final point and biblical lesson. The politicians pushing this voter right bill are lying about their true intent. They're accusing the Republicans of racism, of suppressing the vote, and they're covering up what the real plan is all about. You know, I'm very reticent to call certain politicians liars in the sense that they know that they're lying. Most of the time, because their worldview is wrong, they think they're telling the truth, even though they're promoting a lie. But when it comes to this voting right legislation, it's obvious to me that these Democrats are telling a bold-faced lie. And they know they're telling a lie. Now, I'm not saying that Republicans never tell lies, but here in this voting rights bill, Democrat politicians are lying. A number of years ago, I had a conversation about voter ID with the New Jersey Republican legislator. He said that in private discussions with the Democrats, in backroom discussions, they all agreed that voter ID is essential, and without voter ID, there would be no limit to the fraud. But when these same Democrat legislators got in front of the media cameras, they announced that the Republicans are all racist for wanting voter ID. And then when confronted later by their Republican colleagues, these Democratic legislators just smirked and said, well, you need to do what you need to do to win elections. These politicians have no conviction against lying. The ends justify the means. I have no doubt that the Democrats know that objections to the voter right bill has nothing to do with racism. They're just saying that to get the public behind the bill. The bill is simply about more votes for the Democrats. But this kind of lying is great offense against God, and it's destroying our country. Evil always operates on lies, and if lies are associated with a certain policy, you can be sure that policy is morally wrong. If you find yourself having to lie to get something done, you can be sure that what you're doing is wrong. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So the path or means to apostasy is through lies, and liars have a seared conscience. They have no convictions against lying. In Revelation 22:15, outside are dogs and sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. So what bothers me the most about this voting rights bill are the lies upon which it's being promoted. Even calling it a voting rights bill is a lie. It has nothing to do with voter rights. Alina Gorokova was a young woman in the Soviet Union back in the 1960s. She began to write about all the lies put forth by the, you know, communist government and the Soviet media. And she wrote a book called Mountain of Crumbs. And one of the famous quotes in that book about the Soviet Union really applies to America today. Quote, the rules are simple. They lie to us. We know they're lying. They know we know they're lying. But they keep lying to us and we keep pretending to believe them. Well, I'm out of time. My YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'll provide a whole lot more information about why the voter right bill is a fraud and a recipe for voter fraud. Everywhere, you know, such policy has been tried in the world, it's resulted in massive election fraud so that in the end, people lose confidence in the system and they vote even less. Then we'll look into more biblical texts about lying politicians. So that's God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube and Rumble. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we never love and practice the lie, but may we be your people who love and practice the truth for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.